Hallelujah. You're loving Jesus tonight. He is so in love with you, it's ridiculous. Something we got into last night, we are going to stay on it, praise God. We're going to talk again about releasing your potential. How many people understand every one of you is a seed? And in every one of you, there's a harvest that God wants to release. In every one of you, there's good works that God foreordained from the foundation of the world, that you would walk therein. Every one of you, God wrote a book about your life before you ever were even conceived. That's in Psalm 139, verse 16. Every day you were ordained to live. Every one of you has a destiny to fulfill. In fact, the first commandment to mankind was be fruitful and multiply. That's the first command. So the first commandment was to a seed. Come on now. Be fruitful. Multiply. Fill the earth. Subdue it. Take over. It's like a kingdom principle. Come on now. And that's what God is trying to get into us, a mentality that we're more than what's visible. You know, man judges by outward appearance. God judges by the heart. God designed you for a purpose. Come on. And what he wants to do is he wants to unlock you. You know, even as children, you train up a child in the way they should go. It's not training them up Christian. It's training them up knowing, of course you're going to train them up to be Christians. But it's more than that. It's training them up where they can discover their divine purpose. Because the Bible says if they know the way they should go, they'll never depart. They'll never depart. You know, that type of kid. See, my son's leaving home already knowing what his destiny is. What an advantage. You don't think he's going to be bringing ideas into the computer world that probably are going to reshape many different fields? But he already knows what he's called to do. And many of you, God wants to awaken that knowledge again, praise God. Amen. You know, that sense of destiny, that there's more to it than just living for ourselves. Come on. Does this make sense? See, progress requires a plan. And if you're going to fulfill your potential, you'll never fulfill your potential without a plan. I was thinking about that because I've known some great, great men in my life. You know, my pastor, Billy Joe Daugherty, was a great man of God. Great man of God. Accomplished, literally saw millions of people born again in his ministry. You know, 450,000 in Russia alone. You know, and he would go there every week or every month for 19 months and hold crusades. And he'd fly all night and come up and preach like four or five times the next morning. You know, incredible. But I'll never forget, you know, he would share that when he was at Oral Roberts University, he was taking a religious ed class. He was actually a phys ed major, but his minor was religious ed. And he was in a religious ed class, and they said, write down a plan or what you want to see with a detailed plan for if you had a church, what you would implement in the church. He had 134 ministries that he wanted to see birthed in the church. He took over a church of 200 people, 250 people. In the first year, he grew it to 2,500. Within the first year, all 134 ministries that he put on the paper were implemented. Wow. I remember sitting down with Miles Monroe. And some of you have heard of Miles, a lot of great teaching on the kingdom. And we would sit, and we were at Oral Roberts University together, and we would discuss what our lives would look like in the future. And what amazed me is I've watched him, and he's doing today exactly what he said. He had a plan. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Most successful people have a plan. Failure to plan is planning to fail. When you plan, you're at least saying, I have a future. Yeah. Come on now. This is not all there is. Let's go to Proverbs 16:1. We're going to have some stuff today. I'm going to try to help you, if you'll let me. If you don't let me, I'm leaving town anyway, and I'm still a nice guy. Come on. You know? And you can come back next year and listen again and not do anything. But that's all right. Come on. It's, you know, that's your choice. But Proverbs 16:1 says, the plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. One of the things I found out is when I'm stuck, I begin to plan. When I don't know what to do, I start writing stuff down. Why? Because if I'm not hearing from God, I can at least present my plan to him, and after he stops laughing, he'll start talking, because the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Come on. It seems like God talks to planners. Verse 3, it goes on, commit your works to the Lord, and your plans will be established. Verse 9, the mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. I found out it's a lot easier for God to lead planners. If you're not planning to do anything, why should he lead you? Come on. See, God really wants to give vision. He wants to give plans. He said that the plan, you know, God's a planner. The plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Come on, plans for your welfare, not for calamity. Give you a future and a hope. See, progress requires a plan. And I'm going to say something. I'm going to challenge you to make plans, set goals. You know, chart what you're going to do for the next 5 months, 12 months, maybe 2 years down the road, maybe 10 years down the road. When we first started out, we always had a five-year plan, always. And we didn't always reach everything, but we reached a lot of it. You know, I found out those that didn't have a plan, they dropped out. I believe it's time. Again, because you know what a plan does? A plan, imagination, like I said, imagination turns into plans. It starts as an idea. It actually starts as a thought. Then becomes an idea. Then it becomes an imagination, which it means you begin to image it. See it. Imagination has image in it. You begin to see it, and as you begin to see it, you begin to see how to implement it. Come on. Does this make sense? And God wants you to begin. He wants every one of us to live by insight, not outsight. Insight. You know, there's a vision on the inside of you. Every one of you has something locked up that just has to be released, praise God. The world needs what you have. See, a person cannot discover new oceans unless he has courage to lose sight of the shore. You know, forgetting what lies behind. Many of us don't plan because we've failed too many times. See, you know, most people don't get their hopes up because they don't want to be disappointed, so they live disappointed. Come on. I'd rather reach for the stars and at least get something higher than what I got. Yeah. Come on. You know, I believe God made us to stretch. I believe faith demands you go into new areas. It doesn't take faith to stay where you're at. It takes faith to do what you've never done before. And faith always has to deal with fear. The unknown makes us afraid. The moment, but once you conquer the unknown, it becomes yours. See, I found out something. Things that I conquer tomorrow, see, most people teach you how to cope instead of how to conquer. You know, stay where you are. Don't expect much. Let the government provide for you. Come on. All this type of, that enslaves people. It does. It means basically we'll take care of you and we'll keep you in your little box. We were never meant to be living in that box. And the only government that should take care of us is the government of God. Come on now. His government. I believe in government increase, just not this one. Come on. In fact, this one needs to decrease so his may increase. Come on now. I believe that. Because I believe God wants people to rise up and grab hold of him and make him their source and nothing else. Come on, does this make sense? The people who change the world are those who have taken impossible out of their vocabularies. With God, nothing's impossible. With God, nothing. Nothing's impossible to them that believes. If you believe, you can speak to the mountain and it will obey you. Nothing will be impossible. See, God really doesn't want us stuck like the world's stuck. We got greater resources because we got a different source. You know, even when things are hard, God, you know, I can't imagine people making through tough times without God. But with God, you can come out lacking nothing. You know, you can still have your joy. Come on. You can go through stuff, and honestly, you come out and nobody can tell you've been through stuff. Maybe it wasn't fun, but you count it as joy. You know, it doesn't rob you of victory. Come on. Because Christ is our victory. He always leads us in triumph. You don't allow circumstance. Well, eventually nothing stops you. You know? It's like when things hit you, they used to hurt. They don't hurt as much anymore because you've become your outward, your head, you've become tough-minded. Tender-hearted, but tough-minded. It's like, okay, so what? This is going to turn for good. This is going to turn for good. Come on. See, when I believe God's working all things together for good, somehow this is going to work for me, not against me. That's what I believe. And when you have a plan, you still believe when you commit your plans to the Lord, he's going to make it. He's going to turn it around. Come on. He'll either reorder the plan or he'll bless it because he'll approve it. Come on now. Does this make sense? We're a can-do people. You know, you must continually say, I'm a can-do person. I can do all things. I can. Get can't out of your vocabulary. Get it out. Amen. You know, there's nothing you can't do. There's things you shouldn't do, and there are things you won't do, even though God's asked you to. And see, you don't know what you can do. Do you know when a manufacturer creates something, he'll always test it to its capacity. If a car is supposed to go 200 miles an hour, he's going to run it at 200 miles an hour because he knows what that vehicle is capable of doing. I'm going to be honest with you. Your creator is going to test your capacity. He's going to stretch you. And many times you don't know what you can do. He knows what you can do. So they ask you to do something you don't think you can do, but he knows you. He created you, so he knows what your capacity is. Come on. Is this okay? Trust me, it's really good. A creator will not call forth from his creation something he did not put into it. He won't do it. If it's from God, whatever you believe hard enough, strong enough, and are committed to enough can become a reality. And faith is the guarantee of the unseen thing. It's what it is. It's a title deed. It's yours already. It's yours already. So don't. What do you know what the enemy's after? He's after your faith. Because if he can steal your faith, he can keep you from your inheritance. If he can get you to disbelieve God, then God can't do anything for you. Faith limits God, and that's why it angers God. Because basically what faith does is, faith releases God, but you know, lack of faith, unbelief limits him. Yeah. He hates unbelief. Yes, in fact, the root of all sin is unbelief. Whatsoever is not faith is sin. Because unbelief calls God a liar. God says, I'll do this for you. I don't believe it. You know, I was thinking about that. You imagine being a parent, and you promise your kid something. And maybe he invites a friend over. Let's say it's Joey and my son Joey. And he invites a friend over. And maybe I'm in the other room and I'm hearing him talk to his friend. Well, my dad promised me this, but I don't think he'll do it. I know what he said, but, you know, you never know what he's going to do. You know, I'll be honest with you, that would hurt me. In fact, it would anger me. In fact, we probably would have a discussion about it. You know, and be honest with you, I haven't kept my word 100% of the time. I've tried to, but there have been things come up, and I haven't been perfect that way. But I've been fairly consistent, and he shouldn't at least know I usually mean what I say. And if I don't do what I say, it's because something happened. Well, with God, there's never a time he doesn't do what he says. Why? Because he can control the circumstances. He's watching over his word to perform it. There's never a time when God's promised anything where he wasn't going to perform it. But the only thing that lacks his performance is our connection by faith. Come on now. Amen. And you know, even when things don't go our way, keep your faith on it. Because God can turn it. And that's the good news. The good news is not everything always works at first for our good, but it'll always work together for good. Yes. Somehow, we just keep believing. Amen. You got to keep believing that the rebellious kids, come on, the blinders are going to be removed from their eyes, that they're going to come to themselves. Amen. Yes. Amen. Yes. You got to keep believing that. You know, why not? You know, your job is to believe. God's job is to perform. Come on. Any person who sets a limit on what he or she can do also sets a limit on what he or she will do. Most of you have set limits. It's time to get rid of the lids. Some of you have set limits on what you'll have in life. What I found out is until you can see yourself having it, you'll never have it. That's why it starts on the inside. That's why people can win the lottery and the next thing you know, they're broke again. Because the picture on the inside never changed.
That's right.
So they saw themselves without stuff. Even when they got the money and got all the stuff at one time, they always went back to their picture.
Yeah.
Let me say one thing. You'll always go back to your picture. So God has to change the picture before he changes anything else. That's why it says, as you behold him, you're changed from glory to glory into his own image. There's an image change so you can experience more glory. Come on now. Do you hear what I'm saying? The more you see him, the more the picture on the inside changes. That's the real you. Come on. Is this okay? See, purpose that's translated into a vision causes things to happen and people to act. Purpose creates vision. Vision produces goals. Goals permit the development of a plan, and a plan allows for an orderly journey. Goals are steps towards the attainment of a larger purpose. Understand thing. God wants the church to be goal-oriented. This one thing I do, pressing towards the mark. Nothing wrong with having goals. Everything wrong with not having goals. Come on. Goals create priorities. They determine decisions. In fact, when you are goal-oriented, it simplifies your choices. If it doesn't fit within the vision, the purpose, and the goal, then it's not worth your time. It really, honestly, the goal itself will determine who your companions are. You know what fellowships are? Fellowship's a bunch of fellows in the same ship. The problem is, some people have fellowship on the Titanic. They're all going down together, baby. Come on now. See, I'm not going to be with those. I'm going with the uppers, the uppers, the uppers, the uppers. Even before, when I was, you know, back in my old days when I was always high, I always liked the uppers, man. I didn't want the downers. Yeah. I still, as a Christian, I just love being around up people. Yeah. And, you know, I'll lift people up. And, you know, some of the people I try to lift up try to shut me up. You know, I mean, it amazes me. You know, it predicts your choices. See, how many people understand? A pilot is not authorized to take off without a plan. Be honest with you, your life is not authorized to take off without a plan. Never get off the ground. Come on. Any air travel, anytime you want to go higher without a flight plan, it's unauthorized. I have a friend, and I won't mention the name, but some of you would know who it was. He had a crash, and it was a missions trip. There was a crash, and many people died. And it's because they tried to take off, and they never got permission from the flight tower. They were going to do it by faith. You know, storm going on, and guess what? Because they didn't have permission, then when they were their plane got in trouble, they didn't give them they basically wouldn't clear the way for them to land. But it was an unauthorized flight. You know, many of us, we want to do our own thing. There's a way that seems right to man, but that way is death. We know that. Come on, there's destruction. You know, all God has to do is leave you to your own ways and you'll self-destruct.
Yes. Yes.
You'll either have Yahweh or your way.
Yeah.
One makes it Burger King. The other one makes it King of Kings.
Amen.
Amen. Nothing wrong with Burger King, by the way. Nothing wrong with it, except for spiritually, you know, you got to have Yahweh. Come on. I want to say that because this probably may go on the internet. And I will eat Burger King occasionally. So I'm not saying anything that trying to be politically correct now. Come on now. See, I love something that Teddy Roosevelt said. He said, your ability needs responsibility to express its possibilities. Think about that. Your ability needs responsibility to express its possibilities. Do what you can with what you have where you are. That's a great quote. In fact, I'll say it again because it's such a good quote. Your ability needs responsibility to basically expose its possibilities. Do what you can with what you have where you are. Sounds like James 2:26, faith without works is dead. Too many times we're waiting to have the big package and God just says, take the steps you can right now. Do what you can right now. You know, you keep taking a step and a step and a step and eventually you get there. The thing is, while you're taking a small step, see yourself at the other side. Never see yourself exactly where you are. See yourself where you're heading. Because if you see yourself where you are, you're not going to go much beyond where you are. If you see yourself where you're heading, eventually you'll be there.
Yes.
You know, years ago, my son was at a science fair. At age, he was a seventh grader, and honestly, his project was probably the worst in the fair. No question. Because, you know, we were homeschooled. Everyone else had to win their school competitions to be there at this competition. We didn't know the caliber. And so funny because his first project was why the seasons change. And it was terrible. His last project won the American Meteorology Society's number one in the world award. So he started off as the worst, ended up as the best. But while he was out there, there was this one girl who ended up going to Harvard, and he would look at her project, and you know, his attitude was, I'm going to be just like that. I'm going to become the standard. She was the standard. So all of a sudden, his vision of himself changed. He didn't see himself as the last. He saw himself on top while he was probably the last. But you know, as the years progressed, he became the standard. He became what he saw. He held the vision. Many of you, honestly, it's time to re-hold the vision again. God's about ready to quicken some things. He's about ready to amplify some things. The darkness is going to get darker. The light's going to get lighter. Things are being amplified right now. And people in great darkness are going to see a great light. Come on now, because we're going to let our light shine, praise God. We might as well get used to it. See, don't die without maximizing your abilities, because that's irresponsible. Grace is God's ability. Faith is our response to God's ability. Anything that's not of faith is sin because it's irresponsible. Basically, sin is not releasing what you have to release. Come on. It's burying your talent in the ground instead of manifesting and increasing. You were made for increase. Give your ability a responsibility that will change the world. There's a wealth of ability in you, but if you haven't given any responsibility, there's not going to be anything that the world benefits from it. See, how many people are saying miracles happen when we give our potential responsibility? Don't allow the things within you to die with you because you didn't challenge them. You know, it reminds me again the parable of the talents. The one that buried his talent, you know, he was lazy, he was wicked. That's what Jesus said about him. And worthless. And that person thought, well, you're hard. I'm not going to do anything. Well, God's tired of the church that doesn't do anything. There's a little VeggieTales song. And one of the things I love about the VeggieTales song is we are the pirates that don't do anything. That used to be my favorite one. You know, I love that one. In fact, one of my pastor friends turned it into a song. He began to sing in church. I told him, don't do that. It's a bad confession. Because he turned it into, we are the pew sitters that don't do anything. And I thought, you know. You know, I said, no, don't do that. Stop calling things that are as though they are and begin to deal with some stuff. Come on now. See, you already have skill and ability in you. I want every one of you is gifted. God sent you to earth as a gift.
Yes.
You have to believe that. Every one of you has a bent in you. Every one of you has something that needs to be expressed. An impression without expression leads to depression. When you don't express what's on the inside of you, you get depressed because you're frustrating the grace of God. God graced you. But when you start expressing, everyone gets benefited. You know, some of you just light the place up. You know what I'm saying? When you get in your realm, you get in your zone, there's a blessing zone. That's your giftedness. You know? And that's where God says, I made you a blessing. So he told Abraham, I bless you to make you a blessing. All the families of the earth are going to be blessed through you. God's blessed you with some type of gift. And as you use that gift, it becomes a blessing to others. Come on. I want you to begin to discover what makes you tick. What you know, and get around. Listen to people that, well, some people will let you know, man, you do this well. I love it when my son gets in his zone because there's nobody I've ever seen in his zone like that. And I grew up with my dad. My dad was the closest thing to it, but he can lock himself in and honestly see things no one else can see. And then he can bring it down here. I love to watch people that are some of the smartest in the world get confounded. Because, you know, he has that ability to bring stuff in. Every one of us has unique abilities. Come on now. Supernatural things by the Spirit. See, potential must be exercised to be fulfilled. It must be exercised. Unless you venture to try things you've never done before, you'll never experience all the wealth that lies within you. You know, we need to prepare practically. We need to plan purposely. We need to proceed positively and pursue persistently. People can't climb beyond the limitations they've placed on themselves. If I can get put anything on you, stop limiting who you can be. People get around me, I'm going to pump people until they do things they didn't think they could do. And you know something? I love to watch people come out of their shell. Have you ever noticed a seed has a shell on it? I love it when that shell breaks. Because it's harvest time. Come on now. When the life that's in them comes out of the shell, everyone benefits from the life. Come on. You know, unless a seed falls to the ground and dies, unless we get to the place where the shell breaks wide open and what's on the inside pours out. And that's what church should be. Church should be a bunch of seeds coming and we're watering the seeds until all of a sudden they begin to come forth. And the whole world is influenced by what takes place. Does this make sense? Success is never final, and failure is never fatal. One good thing about failures, it's proof that you tried. That's what I love about that. The most successful people have failed more than anybody else. Don't ever be afraid of making a mistake. Be more concerned about doing nothing. You're going to make mistakes. And you're going to look back and say, you know, if I had the information, I would have made a different decision. But decide anyway. You know, you're not going to get 100% right. But when your heart's right, God's even going to work the things you've done that was you thought were mistakes, and God will turn them to work for your good. Don't live in fear of being perfect in performance. See, how many people understand absence of priority results in the wasting of time and energy? If you're not doing the right thing at the right time, it means you're doing the wrong thing at the wrong time. That's very simple. In Ephesians 5, it talks about redeeming the time. The days are evil. Find out what the will of God is. You know, it's time that we stop trying to chop wood with a dull axe. Ecclesiastes 10:10 talks about people, they're working hard, but they're doing the wrong thing. Or they're doing it in ways, I've been around people that, honestly, they refuse progress. In fact, I believe that's a problem with this town. I believe that. I believe that they want to live 30 or 40 years in the background. You know, I've been around people that they refuse to use computers. They refuse to use technology. And they have to hand write everything and hand do everything. And those people, honestly, they ain't going anywhere. Whether we like it or not. You know, we're going to have to jump on certain things. Or we're basically going to be wasting a bunch of time. Does this make sense? See, anything out of the will of God is a waste of time anyway. And priority helps you do first things first. When you put Jesus first, I mean, most of us could either be a Martha or a Mary. You know, I've been around a lot of people. They're Marthas. They're wonderful people. They get things done. The problem is they don't even recognize Jesus when he's there. They get irritated with him. Mm-hmm. Lord, don't you care? What's wrong with you, Lord? Don't you care? My lazy sister is sitting at your feet. And look, you're a Lord and you don't even care. But look at all I do. He said, yeah, Martha, Martha. Come on. I'm real impressed with you. You know, you're worried about so many things. Come on. See, without proper focus, you become undisciplined or unrestrained. It says, without a vision, in the New American Standard Bible, in Proverbs 29:18, without a vision, people are unrestrained. They're undisciplined. You're not going to do something just to do it. You're going to do it because there's a purpose. When I played ball, I had a perfect V because I had to. I had, 5% body fat because I had to. When I stopped playing ball, my V became inverted. And I found all the fat. Why? I didn't have to be a perfect V anymore. Now God's dealt with me, and now at least I'm not a perfect V, but I kind of flatlined a little bit, and I'm happy. But the bottom line is, I was disciplined because I had to be. It was the vision that demanded the discipline. And many times what happens is we get sloppy when we lack vision. But all of a sudden when vision comes, there's a reason to do it. There's a reason to get up. There's a reason to pray. There's a reason to get your Bible. There's a reason to reach out to people. There's a reason. Come on. There's a reason to get back up. There's a reason to study if you're having to go to school again. Does this make sense? When your eye is single, it's full of light. When all of a sudden, though, when the focus is right. See, God wants to get us to the place where we're not distracted by everything. You know, if you're going to fulfill your potential, you can't be distracted. People will always try to pull you off. They'll even try to get you to camp by successes. They did with Jesus. Why don't you stay here, Lord? We're having a revival. He said, I, for this purpose was I sent. I must preach in other villages also. The Bible says, for this purpose was the Son of God manifest to destroy. He was manifest on purpose. And be honest with you, when we're on purpose, the Son of God gets manifest in our lives. Come on. But many times, good things become the enemy of God's thing. You know, there are a lot of things I can do, but there's one thing I'm called to do, this one thing I do. And we should find the one thing and do it, praise God. Does this make sense? See, if you're not pursuing the purpose you were made for, you're pursuing the wrong thing. This one thing I do is what Paul said. Find the one thing you do. You know, like I said, some parents, don't let anyone talk you into feeling guilty. Parenthood's a wonderful thing. I heard someone make fun just recently, a politician, about stay-at-home moms, as though they don't work. You gotta be kidding. Best thing I can do. I mean, my wife, and of course she was a home, we homeschool too, but the bottom line is, of course you work. If that's what you're called to do. If you're called to work outside, if you have to work outside, work outside. But the bottom line is this one thing you do. Find the thing that gives you the most satisfaction. Because that one thing, honestly, will give you. Yes. I have a friend, when he's drawing, he's the best thing going. When he's not drawing, he's frustrated. And like I said, he's basically produced VeggieTales and all sorts of things. Well, he's always been doodling. Well, now he doodles for God. God made him to doodle. Some of you, there's a one thing you doodle. Come on now. Amen. I have a friend who said, I don't have any talent. She cooks, and in her bake sales, she'll have a pie or a cake sell for hundreds and hundreds of dollars to raise money. I mean, I can't wait to get to town just to eat at her place. They're partners with us, and I can't wait to get over there. Just feed me, honey. Don't tell me you aren't talented. This is talent. Amen. Talent on loan from God. Come on now. Hallelujah. Especially growing up in the house I grew up in, this is like God restoring something to me. Hallelujah. Does this make sense? See, you're made to live from the inside out so you can turn the world upside down. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. See, let me get to some keys to releasing your potential. How many of you want to reach your potential? Number one, you got to know your source. You got to know that your source is not in yourself. It's a God thing. Bible says in Daniel 11:32, those that know their God will be strong and do exploits. When you get to know him, he'll begin to draw that which is on the inside out. And all of a sudden, you know, what you couldn't do on your own, you apart from him, you can do nothing. But through him, you can do all things, praise God. And you're not apart from him anymore. Number two, you must understand how the product was designed to function. What you need to know, understand is what you're called to do and how it's designed to work. Faith works by love. I'll guarantee whatever gift that God placed in you, the motivation should be love. That's how it works. You love people because you love God. You can't say you love God and hate people. You can't. I found out something. The first thing God will do after you've fallen in love with him is he tries to get you to fall in love with yourself. And be honest with you, most of us, when we first meet God, we hated ourselves. We hated who we were. We hated that we were out of control. We hated, you know, and when you first meet him, many times he's always convincing you, even though at nothing, you know, there's an instant change on the inside, but outside there may be still the same problems. But all of a sudden, you realize if God loves you that much and accepts you that much, you can still love yourself in spite of the fact you're not perfect. And the more you love yourself, the more you love others. Because you love others as you love yourself. I mean, I've said this all the time. I say, you know what depression is? Hating yourself. Because you're always there. I tell people, I say, the number one person I love in my life is God, because he's never changes. He's always there with me. He never leaves me, never forsakes me. The number two person in my life I love is me. Because that's a constant too. I'm always with me. You know? I'm glad, because many times I get beside myself and I have an intelligent conversation. And you know. But I know I can be a jerk, but I'm a lovable jerk. And I love time with me, which is good. Because that's most of the time. Amen. And then I love other people, because if I can love myself, I obviously can love them. Because I know what it takes to love myself. Does this make sense? So, but when you understand how the product works and how much the Creator believes in you, you can believe in yourself. Amen? And you must know your purpose. You must know. Purpose gives birth to responsibility. Responsibility makes demands on potential. That's why I said Acts 13:36, one of my favorite verses, that when David basically said David fulfilled his purpose in his generation. Then he died. I want to fulfill my purpose for my generation. I honestly want the reason God had me born, I want everything God had me born for to be manifest. I want to touch as many lives as I possibly can, those things he's asked me to do, things he sent me to do. So you must understand your purpose. Then you must understand your resources. Understand something. God never sent you down here. Anything he asks you to do, what God orders, he pays for. What God orders, he always pays for. You know, my God shall supply all your need. You know, nobody, no business will send someone in without the proper resources if they have them. And God's going to give you everything you need for your purpose. He may not give you everything everyone else has, but he'll give you everything you need. Come on. He'll supply your need. Does this make sense? And we must begin to recognize our resources are tied to our source. And then you have to have the right environment. An environment consists of the conditions that have a direct or indirect effect on performance, function, and development of a thing. That's why you need to make sure that you keep a church free of strife. your home free of strife. Then, you know, the proper environment is the kingdom environment of righteousness, peace, and joy. Come on. See, the best thing you can do is get in the right environment. I like to be in the environment of faith. Amen. Things work better that way. Then you have to work out your potential. You got to work out what God's put in. See, everything God put in you has an assignment. And guess what? That assignment is work. Work never was a curse. Work was, God gave Adam a job before the curse ever came.
Yes, he did.
See, the problem is most people look at work as a curse. Instead of work is a blessing. Trust me. The very people that complain about having to work, when they stop working, their life becomes boring. There's a privilege. Now, that doesn't mean the natural jobs, but some of them are. Some of you need to recognize, thank God, if you got a natural job, you got one. You know? Amen. You know, I've seen people complain about their job, and then they complain they don't got one. You know, I'd rather enjoy it. Sometimes I had it counted as joy, but it was joy. You must cultivate your potential by association. If you're going to maximize, get around the people that will bring the best out of you. Proverbs 13:20 says, you walk with wise men, you become wise. You walk with fools, you suffer harm. You know what amazes me? You can walk with a fool, they don't suffer harm, you do. It doesn't say you walk with the fools and the fools suffer harm. It says if you're a righteous person walking with a fool, you suffer harm. Let me show you how this works. I have a friend whose son was coming home from school one day. He wasn't a drinker. He wasn't a smoker. He was a good kid. Some of his wild friends were driving by in a car. They said, can we give you a ride? And he thought, what would that? He knew they weren't the type of people to hang with, but it was just a ride. He got in the car with them. They said, we need to make a stop at a convenience store. He was in the car while they went in, robbed the convenience store, and shot the clerk. He had nothing to do with anything. But he had spent 5 years in prison. And even the judge said, I know you had nothing to do with this, but the law says you're guilty by association. And he said, the minimum service is 5 years without probation. Now, he wasn't a fool. He was with fools. But he suffered harm. Come on. Watch your associations. You know, if you'll watch your associations, they'll either make you or break you. I try to hang as much as I can with people beyond me when I can, because they'll stretch me. Come on. Does this make sense? You got to guard your potential. You need to guard your heart with all diligence. Don't let anyone steal that. Don't let anyone wreck your attitudes. Some of you, you can't help it. You get around certain relatives and they try to drag you down. And how many of you have ever been around someone and you couldn't wait to get out of there? It's almost like you need a spiritual bath. Yeah. You know, it's like, oh man. You know, I mean, I have certain relatives I visit once a year because I got to. But every time I always feel guilty that it takes all, you know, I spend all year. I thought, oh, I probably should see them more often. But as soon as I get around them, I realize why I don't. Because all that, and are just so full of bitterness. It's like, you know, if I was around that all the time, I'd get bitter too. They would defile me. Come on now. Amen. Sometimes I just come to church just to take a bath, bathe in the Word. Come on. You hear what I'm saying? See, you must share or display your potential. In order to reach it, you got to display it. You've got to literally, basically begin to manifest what's on the inside. Take a step out. And you also need to know your limitations if you're going to fulfill your potential. You got to know limitations in a sense that you're not every part of the body. I got my gift. You know, I've learned that we submit to each other's giftings. When I go to a mechanic, I pay him to work on my car. You know, and in one sense, I'm his boss. But in another sense, I'm submitting to him because I don't know anything about cars. You know what I'm saying? When I go to a doctor, bottom line is I'm basically submitting unless he disagrees with God and tells me this ain't fixed. If they said this can't be fixed, I got a better report.
Yes.
But the bottom line is I'm going there and I'm submitting. And that's the way it should be in church. We should recognize each other's gifting. And you can even be the pastor, and yet you can submit in some areas. You submit one to another. Come on now. You submit to different giftings. And I believe that concept is coming back. We don't have to be the whole enchilada or whatever. Come on. We can be the part we are. Amen. And we can draw strength from the other parts. You know, I'm the type, I'll pump you up and everything else, but you don't want me to counsel you. You don't. Trust me. You don't, because I'm going to say, this is what it says. Obey God. It's over. That's the counseling session. Read it. Do it. Next. Well, that doesn't go over real big sometimes. It doesn't. And I understand that. And if you want someone to pet your fur, it ain't going to be me. There's going to be some mercy people. They're going to be really sweet with you. They'll cry with you. And then when it's time to get out of that, it's time for you to get healed up, God sends me in. And I'll just say, grow up. Get over it. It doesn't mean I don't love people. It's just a different type of love. Uh-huh. And there are times the other gift is needed, and I know that. So I have to back away and say, you know, this ain't me. Come on. And I let that gift takes over when it's my turn. You know, it's my, you know what I'm saying? Just know your limitations, but know your abilities. You know yourself, know your God. Know what you are, know what you're not. It will help you. Does this make sense? And I'm asking you to live in your potential, not in the present. Walk by faith. You know what faith is? Walking in your potential. Walking, not by sight. Your sight is the present, but walk in your potential. We need to have faith in the future, in our potential to bring about something better. Success can only be defined by fulfilling your potential and purpose measured by obedience. See, purpose is the why for existence. That's why, you know, so many people, once you understand purpose, you know why you're here. And be honest with you, that doesn't change much. Once you understand purpose, it's settled. My son knows his purpose. So he's not going to try. You know, he's not going to be the spooky spiritual type. He's going to build orphanages. He's going to make his millions and billions, whatever. He's going to be a paymaster in the body of Christ, and he's going to bring new ideas. But he's probably not going to be the person you see on TV preaching. Why? It'd be a waste of his time and talent. You know what I'm saying? He has his gift. You have your gift. So don't compare your gift with anyone else's gift. It's just as important. It's just different. You know, my mother-in-law's boyfriend is 92 years old. He's a hoot. He never stops moving. Never stops moving. And you know, one of the neatest things about him is you talk about a man that's made for good works. He's always fixing stuff for old people. That's what his job is. He goes over there, he fixes doors, he fixes this. He's a handyman. I'm trying to get him to stop climbing the ladders right now, but he's always fixing stuff. And he's always, you know, when he invites people, a lot of times he'll fix something and invite someone to church. They said, well, can I pay you? He said, well, the way you pay me is show up to church. He's one of the best ones that gain people to come. At least they feel so guilty. They'll show up. It works. Amen. Come on. It works, and he's using his talent. Amen. Now, he'll say, I'm not very spiritual. Well, he is very spiritual because he's fulfilling his purpose. Yes. Does this make sense? Some of you, honestly, don't try to be like me. It ain't going to work. Amen. God made me throw away the mold after he stopped laughing. But see, completion of purpose equals success. Look at it. When you finish your purpose in life, that is the total definition of success. I did what I was made to do. I finished my race. I ran my course. I fought my fight. I did everything I was called to do. That's success. I wasn't somebody else, just me. When God called me to preach, I said, Lord, do you know who you call? I said, I'll be the biggest joke you ever put on the body of Christ. I got so much shock value in me. You know? I mean, live TV is like disaster for me. Because they can't edit me. You know? All these other guys, they know how to do the preach thing. I don't know how to do the preach thing. They got perfect hair. Of course, it's not theirs. But still. You know? I mean, you know. It's amazing how many people, you know, what you see is not really what you get. When my dad used to go to bed at night, he put his wig on the nightstand. He put his teeth on the nightstand. Take out his hearing aids, put them on the nightstand. My stepmom used to say, I didn't know whether to kiss the nightstand goodnight or your dad goodnight, because there was more of him on the nightstand than there was in bed. Well, anyway. Hallelujah. When Joey was born, they asked me who he looks like. I said, just like my dad, no hair, no teeth. My dad's in heaven. He's probably laughing at this. Like he probably, you know, probably has hair and teeth in heaven. But see, success is not what you've done compared to what others have done. But what you've done compared to what you were supposed to do. That's why you can't compare yourselves with anyone else. You know, God's word produces faith. Faith is knowing that potential is there. I'm going to pray for you in a second, but a strong desire enables you to stand your ground until you see what you've believed. And your desire controls your direction in life. You must have a goal that you desire so strong you go after it no matter what. See, that's what potential is all about. And every one of us, my greatest desire is to see the church fulfill its potential. Yes. The whole earth is in travail to the manifestation of the sons of God. Because that's really what our full potential is. Our full potential is to be just like Jesus. To do what Jesus did. And even greater works. Our full potential literally will be like the devil thought, I only killed one. I thought I only killed one of them. Where they're multiplying. Come on now. All these little Christians, little Christ walking around. Now, everywhere I look, I'm dealing with a spitting image of what I killed. Come on. He's back. Some of you, honestly, God's you've had a setback, took a step back. God's planned your comeback. It's time to run again. It's time to run again. Get your planner out. Get your planner out. Get ready for God to begin to share things with you. Write them down. 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 And then when you write them down, then formulate plans out of what God showed you. Keep meditating till it turns into action.